When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast, people. I'm here. I'm in Vegas. We got a great show. I'm pumped. I'm pumped for this show. Actually, this is gonna be a fun one. My buddy Bill Dawes is here, who is a hilarious comic, also a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. Great guy, I've known him for years. And I'm excited. I'm excited because we have Ricky Simone is on, who's killing the game right now, absolutely killing it. Anthony Hernandez is gonna be on the show. The guy who just tapped. Like the 7-time Abu Dhabi champion. You watched that fight last week?
Yeah, I did.
He's going to be here. And then we have Tyler Goodjohn is on the show as well. Bare knuckle boxer, porn star, just a fucking wild dude. The guy's living like the caveman life.
Is he the first guy you've had that's been a fighter and porn star? Is it the first person?
You've had females on that have had like OnlyFans accounts and have done some like porn stuff. But he's the first one. He's the first male porn star. I'm sure we've had guys that have made sex videos, but he's the first.
Of course.
First active porn star. So that's good. I'm in Vegas right now doing comedy, and I was talking to Bill before the show. But it's just so great doing live shows again. I mean, it's even though it's like 30% capacity, and it's like 50 people out of it's just nice actually talking to somebody not on Zoom. I had an audition 2 days ago on Zoom, and it was like for a commercial, and I go in the baby's room because the baby was out at her daycare thing, and my wife was working in the other room, and I was afraid the baby was going to come in through the living room when she came back. So I go over to her room and I lock the door, and my daughter is, we're potty training her, and my wife is like 30. She's like a millennial who everything is like wired. Like stuff that she knows about that I'm just like, so she has the Alexa reminding my daughter to go to the bathroom. And it's like, hey, time to go potty, Violet. You're a big girl. We're all proud of you. And that happens every 30 minutes, right? Now, I forget this is a thing. So right when it's my time to do my line for the audition, I waited like 30 minutes on Zoom. And it was to be like Kevin Bacon stunt double for a commercial. So everyone looks a lot more like Kevin Bacon than me. And my line was like,
you see the other people auditioning as well?
You can see them in the waiting room, in the virtual waiting room. And everyone's like fixing their hair. Some guy's wife's yelling at them. Like nothing. People don't know Zoom. Other people have like a green screen behind them. I have like my daughter's wallpaper behind me. Like, it's just like, I'm trying to fix the camera as far like the computer, and I'm adjusting it. And the cast director's like, are you good, Adam? Like, already he's like annoyed at me. And right when it was time to do my line, I hear it was like my line was like, hey, thanks for the Coke or something. And all of a sudden I hear, I'm like, thanks for the time to go potty training, Violet. You're a big I'm like, fucking hey, like, so I don't think I got that one. And I didn't even.
Or they're going to be charmed by it. And they're going to be like, oh, he has a kid. He needs to pay some bills.
Maybe, but you couldn't really, unless you knew what she was saying, it just, you just heard like potty, big girl. It sounded like some weird sex cult was going on. It was awful. So I do my show last night in Vegas. BJ Penn shows up. Wow. And that was awesome. And BJ seems like he's doing great. I know he's had some law problems. And I made a couple jokes about it because. But like, you know, respectful jokes. Because it's still, you don't know where you're at with BJ. You know, he's the nicest guy ever, but he.
What are the problems? I haven't followed that, the BJ Penn problems.
I think he got a second or third DUI. He got, you know, kicked out of the UFC basically for getting into a bar fight and like losing, kind of. A guy, he like asked his friend to punch him in the face outside a strip club, and then he came and beat the guy up. There's some, I don't know, a lot of child, there's a lot of stuff going on in his life that's not good, you know. But he seemed really well. He came with a buddy of mine, Adam, who's in charge of like the UFC gyms, and he has a job there or something. He was really cool. He was so nice and it was great. But the crowds are not, people are not used to being outside. And I feel like in a way, everybody, it's like when you let, it's like a, you put a dog in a crate for, you know, a couple days or months or years, and you let it out, it's going to go fucking wild. Well, it's like happening at like comedy clubs now. Cause people are just talking back to me. They're not even heckling. They're just exciting. I'm like, you ever get so drunk? Yeah. Like not even before I get to my punchline, people are just yelling at me, you know, screaming, having fun. And I was like, you know, this is a drunk crowd when the most sober one is BJ Penn. and BJ appreciated that one.
So
that was crazy. And then some guy, they're making everyone wear masks in the room, right? So, and I have to,
in the green room. Oh, in the comedy room.
In the comedy room. Everyone,
even when they sit down.
Sit down, you have to wear a mask, right? And they'll come to you and say, you have to put your mask on, you know? So right away, halfway through my set, these two guys, maybe in the 20s, one guy gets up and goes, fuck this. And I think he's like mad at me because I just made like a Trump joke or something. And I'm like, oh, great. Probably it wasn't even that bad of a Trump joke, but it was a joke. And then I go, he goes, I have the sick of this fucking mask, and threw it down, right? And I'm like, give it up for Anthony Fauci, right? Like I so that. And then his buddy was like, Tyler, just sit down. So then they start fighting. And then he goes, so then the people come over, and normally I'm used to people getting mad at me during comedy shows. But now they're getting mad at masks, you know. But I told the guy, I'm like, listen, man, you know, we're all in this together, man. I hear you, you know. Just come on, man. We're here to have a good time. The guy sat down and had a good time, and everyone was happy that I defused the situation. But, you know, it was one of those things where, look, I get it. You know, it's a frustrating, crazy time. I mean, rules are rules, and, you know, people have, like, I know bars right now that are enforcing not wearing masks. Like, there's, like, I know people that run bars, like, on Fremont Street where you go there and, like, you can't, like, people, you'll get in trouble for wearing a mask. People are like,
oh, in Vegas, really?
In Vegas. There's all these secret places that people tell me about, like, hey, you want to come here? No masks. And which makes me not want to go there because how many people have been there now?
Oh, exactly.
Masks, you know? So, but.
The new speakeasy is like, you know, you have to open the little slot and be like, come in, what's the password?
It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. Anyway, so, Bill Dawes, we've actually trained together, and man, you're like, you're one of these guys in jiu-jitsu, you know, that you're hard to take down. Like, you have like, no wrestling background, but a good wrestling base. You're, because I feel like a lot of guys, you know, at high levels, they just play guard, the guard game. Like, oh, I'll just pull guard. And that's not you. You're, so congrats on getting your brown belt and everything.
Brown belt. Well, I had two older brothers who beat me up constantly all through my entire life. So that's, I think that's where wrestling mostly comes from, right? It's just.
Yeah.
Family members that you want to kill. So so I did that my whole life. I always wanted to be a wrestler, but I never was. But I would always have friends who were like state champions in Virginia. I play. So I like the top game. I'm not one of those guys who wants to have my ass in the air like a French hooker and just play inverted the whole time. You know what I mean? I like the pressure passing. So we probably have similar games that way. I don't know, when's the last time you trained jiu-jitsu though? It's been a while, huh?
I haven't trained jiu-jitsu in a long time. I'm doing Muay Thai a lot, like in my garage. I've just been... with the COVID and I'm good. Thank you. My wife's, you say I'm good. They're still going to walk in. They always walk in. hey, how's it going? I'm all set. Thank you. My wife's mom isn't in the best health. So no, thank you.
Oh yeah.
So my wife's mom isn't in the best health. So like to be like, to explain to my wife, hey, I'm going to go to train in jiu-jitsu right now. With a bunch of people, you literally can't get like closer, you know. Why are you training for anything? No, I just need to get a workout. It's just once COVID's over, I'm gonna go back and like go back hard. But right now, it's just I don't know. It's just hard. It's hard when you have a 2-year-old and a wife.
Yeah, exactly. I had COVID and then I went and did jiu-jitsu. not knowing I had it. I just knew that I felt funny. I felt a little off. And then I trained, and then I immediately got tested after I trained, and I was positive. But nobody at the gym got it. So I don't know what that means, other than the fact that I think for someone like you, Adam, I don't think it'd be that big a deal if you got it. But you're just worried about your wife's mom.
Yeah, my family, my mom, my kid, my wife. It's not really me. I feel like I've hooked up with enough porn stars and people of like that where I think my body can take whatever.
Yeah, you know? Your immune system is on point right now, man.
I honestly think I eat like shit, but train really hard. And so yeah. I think my body's all fucked up. I feel like people that are really healthy get really sick, or people that are not healthy. But like, if you're, I have a really stupid, I don't know what I'm talking about. I think I'd be all right. But yeah, other people around me is who I'd be worried about. But you take breaks though. Cause like I've known you, and like, I'm like, hey, when was the last time you rolled? You're like, oh, I haven't rolled in a couple months or a year or 2 years. And then I see you getting a brown belt. Like, but then you're under Hegan Machado or something. Who are you a brown belt under?
No. So my guy, his name's Marcus Vinicius. He has he's a sixth dan under Master Mansoor. So that's a pretty good legacy. I mean, I think how many red belts are there in BJJ? 30 in the world, 20, 30. So Master Mansoor is one of them. And he's like a legend, you know, he's like the 50 Cent of Brazil. He's been shot 8 times. And he was a cop. He was like, if you ever saw City of God or Elite Squad, he's one of those like slow.
All right. So I think your wife
belt, he's like 5'2". He's a monster. So the guy that he trained under him is very old school Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, classic Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. I don't do the Gordon Ryan, Gary Tonin leg game, which is interesting because with someone like Ricky Simone, who is a black belt in Jiu-Jitsu, a lot of people think that Jiu-Jitsu is going to make a resurgence in MMA because the leg game has evolved so much in the past 5 or 10 years. Like Gary Tonin is killing it at the ONE Championship right now. With leg locks, he can pretty much get people when he wants to. And there was a time where leg locks were irrelevant in UFC because people just slip out of them. But I feel like the game's evolved. So I'm going to be like people like Charlie, like who's that guy? Charlie Hooper, that little kid with
Chase
the curly
Hooper.
Hair.
Chase
Hooper. And he's getting people in heel hooks and shit like that. It's going to be interesting to see how that evolves. But I don't play that game. I'm too old.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Tonin though is also he is really working on his striking. Like he says his favorite boxer is Mike Tyson. Like you wouldn't even know, and he just pulls out jiu-jitsu when he needs to, you know, which is dangerous. But also, he's fighting good guys. But I want to see him fight the next level of guy, because you know, Ryan Hall is a guy that like
you just I love like, Ryan Hall.
You know, but yeah, I am interested in it because, I mean, I always feel like pulling guard's a terrible idea in MMA. I'm always like, man, but then you get there's always a one guy that can seem to break every single rule. And then you're like, nobody can figure that guy out. And I remember it was like Damian Maya for a while. Everyone was like, Maya and Maya, Maya. And then Nate Marquardt just like knocked him the fuck out. And then they were like, okay, well, I guess, you know, or, but this guy right here, I guess his name is Jade Bonnet now. I don't know who that is. But that's the name. Ricky Simone is a murderer. Who's Jade Bonnet, by the way?
I got to stop stealing my wife's laptop.
Oh, okay. I got it. Ricky Simone coming off a huge win. That dude was tough, man. Brian Kelleher is a very underrated fighter, and he's one of those dudes that wins that like he's never out of a fight. He's got that like one punch power. You started off so strong, and your wrestling in the first round was amazing. Was there a fear of burning out?
Not for me. That's like my favorite thing is to like get them to the point where they're burning out and I can like start to feel it. Like I felt that like early on in wrestling, you'd feel them break like in the third round when they're tired and they're down, but if it's close and then you feel them go over something, you kind of feel them take that breath and like, hang their head a little bit. And I love getting them to that point. And I train to get them to that point and for me to stay fresh. So, not in my head. I mean, even though it was like a quick turnaround, I still felt so like, so my body felt good. And I feel like I was in good enough shape to like push that pace for all 3 rounds for sure.
How do you do that? Because I go 1 5-minute roll in jiu-jitsu, and then I feel like I have a heart attack. I need like a power drink. I need a massage. Like, how do you go 15, 25 minutes at like level 10?
Well, my coaches are crazy. When I'm here over here training with Fabiano Scherner, he's like cuts me off a piece of the mat, puts some bags, and like that's my area. And he just sends, you know, anywhere from a purple belt to a black belt at me for 10 to 12 rounds sometimes. And we're just grinding it out. They're putting me in positions that they think my opponent's going to have me in, or they think I'm going to have my opponent in. And then when I'm training with Team Oyama, I'm sparring, you know, 10 to 15 rounds, you know, good spar, nothing crazy, but like high pace. We're working stuff we've been drilling on. And I'm working with Alex Perez and guys like up and coming guys that are just, you know, just good enough to be in the UFC already. So I'm constantly getting, you know, 10 plus rounds live in. So
do you ever get tired?
I mean, a little bit, but I can recover pretty quick. And that's something that we've been doing for years now. I think I've been working with Polar for 5 years. I wear that heart rate monitor. And we see how high we can get my heart rate up, and we max it out. And then in 1 minute, we see how low I can get my heart rate. And I can drop almost 100 beats within that minute. So I'm in full recovery.
Bill, is this like how you train as well?
Yeah, you know, I'm the laziest piece of shit imaginable. But I do have a question for you. Ricky, I love the way you attack the arm triangle from the mount. In terms of your jiu-jitsu, what would you say your most effective offensive attacks are in jiu-jitsu and MMA? Because I feel like there's very few that work, frankly, nowadays. But your arm triangle from the mount seems pretty effective. I don't know if you have any tricks for that. I never get it when I roll. I'm a brown belt, but I'm obviously not your level. Is that your favorite jiu-jitsu move? Offensive move in MMA?
Well, I think my favorite would be a guillotine, or, you know, any kind of choke when I'm like on top, like either like standing or have them turtle up on the ground, because I feel like I get to that position so many times. The arm triangle is one of my favorite moves, mostly just for pressure. Like either I'm going to get this arm triangle, or I'm going to get to a position where I can posture up and elbow your fucking face. So either way, it works.
Yeah. So you don't lose position. That's good.
Now, Kelleher clipped you a couple times in the second and third. Were you rocked at all?
Never rocked. Actually, the front kicks never hurt me, but he actually hit me with a check hook, which we knew he had a good overhand and a good hook from the open. So I felt that a little bit, and so I had to use some head movement and circle a little bit. But none of the front kicks, nothing like that.
Now, there was one time that we hit you, and then your chin went up, and then and then your hands went down, and I was like, oh, shit, uh-oh. But was that on purpose, or was that on purpose, or no?
No, I didn't get kicked in the face on purpose, Adam. Come on, man.
No, but, like, were you playing possum at all? Were you, did you see any like, stars at all, or no?
No, never. I mean, I've been buzzed in fights and seen those stars before, and nothing like that. He did sneak a couple of those front kicks in really good at me. I think his toe, I had like a big old cut under my chin, his toe in my neck or something, but he was sneaky with those. I was having one of my coaches flow with me and throw those like marching front kicks that he likes to throw. In practice, I had that shit down. I was like moving out of the way. I was like, yeah, right. That ain't hitting me. And then the fight, it hit me so many times. So,
wow. Yeah. Now, are you staying at 145?
No. I like being the bully at bantamweight. I feel so strong. I feel like a freak at bantamweight. I think at featherweight, I'd be giving up too many advantages, especially in that height department. I'm short as shit, so I shouldn't be fighting these tall guys up at bantamweight.
And what happened to the mullet?
Well, after I started losing, it just kind of fell off, but We're on a win streak again. It's peaking.
It's hard to make jokes about you now, because I have all these mullet jokes that I just go to the well, and now it's gone. I think people still see you with the mullet, though. You had it for so long, and people still look at you, and they're like, oh, it's still there. I just can't see it, you know?
Yeah, it's a problem, because I thought, like, oh, this will be fun, like, as I start my UFC career, and then that's how I get known, is just like a mullet. So it's kind of my thing.
You know, I mean, props to your eye of favor, but that – I still think that was stopped early. Honestly, like, I still think that fight was a bad stoppage.
Well, I wasn't going to complain about it, but then the ref came in the background and was like, I feel like I need to explain myself. And so that left a weird taste in my mouth for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I know what I signed up for. Like, let me die in there a little bit. You know, let me fight out of these positions. If I'm not unconscious, then don't be pulling anyone off me.
Well, I came up that Uriah promised the ref a threesome with two chicks. That you know, just so you know. Now, who do you think wins, Yan or Aljamain?
I think Aljo can get it done. I mean, he seems pretty like long for the weight class, and I think his wrestling is going to be the difference. So I think if he uses it, it could be the difference.
Yeah, Bill.
Hey, Rick, I have a question. How come I feel like every time a male fighter wins UFC, they go, Dana, I want that title shot. Every time the women do, they go, I'll do whatever Dana wants. I don't really care. I'm just honored to be in the ring. What, you don't seem like you're one of the guys who's like, Dana, give me that title shot. I'm gonna murder everyone in the ring. You seem pretty modest. But what do you think? Do you think that's marketing?
I don't know. I do think about that sometimes. I do think about like, oh, what do I need to do to be more marketable? But I don't know. It just gets tough. I just want to be myself. And, you know, I talk plenty of shit as it is. And I just want to be natural. And I'm sure once I get to that, I feel like I need to prove it. I'm not going to be one of those guys who's calling for something too early. You know,
yeah.
You know, like give me things. I want to earn them. I've earned them my entire life. I'll just keep doing that.
Well, I mean, you're fighting every week. You literally fought like twice in 3 weeks. And you've been winning, so I can't. And you're just a monster. These guys are like, I feel like you're a guy that you're gonna have a tough time finding fights because you're not ranked in the top 10 yet, and you're fucking a beast of a guy. And the guys that you've beaten are just awesome. So people are gonna be like, oh, well, it's, you know, the risk reward ratio would be hard for people.
Yeah, I think I'm due for another ranked opponent. I mean, if you look at it, you know, I was ranked top 15 at one point. You know, I took those losses, but to Uriah Faber and to the now number 3 ranked guy, Rob Font, you know, and that was a super close fight. So those are my only losses in the UFC. I'm 18-3. I mean, if they want to keep paying me these big bucks to fight these guys who aren't ranked, then I'll do it. But I feel like, you know, I'm on a 3-fight win streak. They better start giving me a name. And I'm looking at guys like, you know, two guys who popped in my head right away were Sun Sal and Frankie Edgar. You know, if I could get a fight in like early summer, I think those would be great matchups for me.
I don't want to see
Frankie Edgar's not retired yet.
Yeah, Frankie. I don't want to see that fight. No offense, but I want Frankie to fight somebody like somebody older. I want to see him get a definite win. I don't know. That's a tough fight for him, man. You're a young, hungry kid. You live in a one bedroom. You know,
I moved up. I'm out of the one bedroom. Come on, man.
I remember you came to my show in Portland. I felt like you were like a kid. And then he's the funniest guy, Bill, because like it was right after his first fight in the UFC. And I was like, man, that was a tough fight. You're like, yeah, those guys are a lot better than the scrubs I've been fighting before. Like, he just fucking like flat out said that. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
But you weren't, man. Those LFA guys you fought were good. I mean, you fought some good dudes, you know. Yeah.
Do you have a gaming chair, Ricky? Is that a gaming chair you're sitting on?
Yep. Yeah, it is. It was gifted to me. This for sure been ran through, but it's super comfortable. Broken in.
Okay, so let's talk about the fights this week. We got Curtis Blaydes, Derek Lewis. I'm picking Curtis Blaydes. I just think that he's going to out-wrestle him, take him down for 5 rounds, and just kind of avoid getting knocked out. Who do you like in this fight, Ricky?
I got to go with a wrestler for sure. Especially like you get a heavyweight who has that blast double like Blaydes and then that ground and pound. But Lewis seems hard to be taken down. Must be his that wide mass or something, because if someone shoots on him, he just easily like defends it, it seems like, at least. But I think that Derek should be able to blast through that and control it. But hopefully he don't gas out though.
Well, I mean, what's funny is that somebody asked him about like the spaceship on Mars that they landed. And he was like, man, how much was that? They could have opened up so many Popeye's chickens with that money. It was like, he is one of the funniest people. You just want to – and he has, like, the most knockouts in the history of heavyweight division right now. Like, he's insane power. Bill, who do you like in that fight?
You got to go with Derek Lewis, man. You got to love the guy. And in terms of him gassing out, I think there's a little bit of a showmanship thing going on where he's like, I think he's actually a little bit better than people think, and I think he's going to knock him out.
Dude, put money on it. At one point, he was training for 20 minutes a day, which is like,
I know, but you think that's just like a little bit of PR to be
I think he was training 20 minutes a day. Like, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy to like lie about shit.
At some point, he's got to step it up, though, right?
Oh yeah, of course. But he's hilarious. I mean, he's just naturally funny. He has that like, yeah. He can read the phone book and I'll laugh, man. Some people are just naturally funny. So also Caitlin Vieira, who has won, she's beaten some good girls. She beat Ashley Evan Smith, Sarah McMahon, Kat Zingano, and she got knocked out by Irene Aldana, and then she beat Sajara Eubanks. She's fighting Yana Kunitskaya. She's Russian. This girl hates me. I sat next to her at a fight. And I started asking her questions and like, who's going to win? And she's like, leave me alone. I was like, thank you. But then she was nice on Instagram and Twitter. Like, she got back to me and likes my tweets. Well, maybe she's having a bad day.
Leave me alone is how you say hello in Russian.
Is that what it is? Yeah, Russian. Yeah. That's my dad told me with Russian girls, if you take them out and don't try to sleep with them, they'll think you're a complete homo. That's something my dad told
me. Meanwhile, they'll be mean to you the whole time. But if you don't try to have sex with me, still think you're homo. Yeah.
So we have a guy who just won Fight of the Night also joining us. This dude, Anthony Hernandez, coming off a huge win. Oh, my God. Everybody was – it was – you know, I love when I watch fights and everyone's about one guy. The commentator's like, oh, Vieira, this guy's the best ever. He's in trouble. He's not – and then the other guy wins. Like, that's my favorite. So, Anthony, thanks for making that happen. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm pretty fucking lit. I'm not gonna lie.
You deserve it.
Thank good, you. Man. But didn't you get in trouble for that? Didn't you like not get into the UFC and they took away like?
No, it's just a little suspension, you know. But we're past that now. I passed my last drug test, so you know.
All right.
If I have to cut it out, I will.
No, it's all good, man. I'm happy for you. Now that fight, were you nervous at all about the submission of that guy? Like, did you strictly, you took that fight on like short notice, right?
No, I've had the, I got COVID, so they pushed it back a little bit, but I trained for like 3 months for him and I just did a fuck ton of drilling and escaping, getting up. And the game plan was basically to make him wrestle so that he gets tired because he's like a jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah.
And he likes to chill on top. So we were like, our game plan was to make him work hard the first round and then second round, take it to him. So that pretty much, because we knew he was going to gas. He was fucking big as shit.
Yeah. I mean, how were you close at all tapping? I mean, was it insane pressure or did you roll like guys that felt like.
No, it really wasn't that bad. The guys that I was training with for that fight are like, 230 black belts and D1 wrestlers, and let's just say they're fucking a lot worse to get off of you than that like 185 pound guy. So I was chill.
No, it was good. Now after you had him hurt in the first, you go back to your corner, then you went for the takedown and everyone's like, no, keep him standing, because was that part of the plan to take him down, or you were just like talk to me about that?
So I knew, like, once after the first round, I felt like his best, you know. So like, I wasn't even worried about it. The second round, I was 100% ready for that fight. I even told my coaches, like, I was like, I can see myself submitting him, and they're like, "Fuck that, no." And but just like when he was on bottom, and like you could see his body, just like his soul just leaving his body. Like he did not want to fight no more. He was fucking exhausted. So he was like kind of looking for a way out. So when I saw him like reaching, I was like, "Oh, my choke's right here." And once I put my knee over, like, and blocked his elbow, I knew for sure I was going to have it, and then just sent it.
It was incredible. I was cheering. I was going crazy. I was my wife and my daughter were there. My daughter's like, play Barbie. And I was trying to, like, play Barbie while watching this. It was hard. I was so pumped for you because it was like the ultimate Rocky story. But people don't realize you beat Kevin Holland. Like, you have some huge wins on your record.
No, I lost to Kevin Holland. Oh. He got me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all right. Well, I'm taking that part out, too. Okay. Okay. But you beat a guy that beat Kevin Holland, right?
Yeah. Brandon Allen.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. You beat Brandon Allen, who beat Kevin Holland. So you beat some good dudes. I mean, you're not some jabroni. I mean, you were, what, like 10-1 as an amateur? Then you came in and you won 8 in a row. You would have gotten to the UFC earlier if not for the failed drug test. You knocked the guy out in 40 seconds. I mean, you're not just some kid. I feel like they were all about loading up on that other guy and, like, not talking about you.
No, yeah. I, I was looking forward to it. I knew all the pressure was off me, so I was like, all right, now I can just go fight. There's no people there. There's no nurse. It's just, you know, it was perfect.
Did you get laid that night or no?
Hell no, I got kids.
What about your wife? Are you a single dad? Are you married or what?
No, I'm married.
And your wife didn't be like, you're my hero, good job? Like, not-
I don't know. I really don't like I'm not trying to make it like a crazy big deal. It's just like another fight with a submission. I really don't give a fuck about all the hype and stuff.
Damn. What about you? Nothing? Ricky?
Oh, what was that?
Did your wife hook you up, Elise, after your last win?
Oh, hell yeah. Come on. No kids for
me. I mean, if you get fight of the night, you should get a fight of the night BJ at least. Come on.
Yeah, 50 grand. What's wrong with you guys, man? Right?
Bro, I'm a fucking dad. I had to be in dad
mode. Listen, man. I know you're on a meeting right now with your manager as well as some potential client or something, right? And yeah. Obviously, you want to get stoned as hell for those meetings. But listen, who do you want to fight next?
I really don't give a fuck. I'll fight whoever.
Nice. Well, keep up the great work, and thank you for everything.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care, brother. All right.
Hey, Adam, is weed banned by USADA?
So it was, and now they're saying it's not anymore. Like, so it's so stupid. They got to get this. It's so dumb that, like, people are in jail right now for many, many years because marijuana, and then COVID happens, and it's an essential business in California. And, I mean,
exactly.
It's
crazy.
The dumbest thing. Like, it's an essential business. Like, the gym is closed, but the dispensary is open.
Yeah. Did you ever think that 10 years ago that comedy would be illegal and weed would be legal?
It's – no, I'm literally doing comedy shows in dispensaries right now. Yeah. They're having shows there. This is the only place you could have shows now, are at a fucking park or a dispensary or a parking lot. It's so stupid. So fucking dumb. But what are you going to do? I can't believe – I thought he beat Kevin Holland. Now I feel like an asshole. I know people are going to be like, you fucking idiot. Do your research.
He's not even going to remember that conversation. Don't worry about it.
He won't, but the fans are going to fucking – I just to make a mistake like that, I could just see like the 19 comments of like, you have this guy on your show. Anyway, fuck it. What are you going to do? Bilal Muhammad is replacing Chimaev. Bilal is now fighting Leon Edwards. I think it's a great fight for Bilal. It's the first time he's in a main event. I think he could beat Leon Edwards is a great fighter, but he hasn't fought in like 2 years. And even though he's in an 8-fight winning streak, that's a long time. And it seems like a lot of guys right now are coming back from 2-year layoffs and not doing well. I think Ponzinibbio being one of them, a couple other guys, they're not performing to their – it's a long layoff. Thoughts, Ricky Simone?
Yeah, I like Bilal in that one too, especially because he just fought and – I know when I just had a quick turnaround, I was much more comfortable in the back warming up, less stressed on the walk out. So he has that going for him against a guy who has a 2-year layoff. I had a 9-month layoff before my last the fight in Fight Island. Even that was like too long.
Yeah.
You know, so those long layoffs definitely affect you. And I think if Bilal can make it dirty, which he's good at doing, going in there and making it a scrap and not letting Leon sit back and pick his shots, then it could definitely be a good night for him.
And it's a long layoff and a main event long layoff. So you got to think of all the press he's got to do and all the pressure. That's a fucking tough challenge, man. I know these British guys are pretty calm under pressure, especially like black British guys seem like the calmest. Have you ever met a black British guy that didn't have like between like Lennox Lewis, Leon Edwards, it seems like a lot of these guys, a lot of rappers, they just seem a lot more calm. I don't know what it is. They just seem a lot cooler, but who knows? Chris Dukas, is that how you say it? Anyway, he's fighting Alexei Alnick, who has like 80 fights. He's won 47 by Ezekiel choke. Everybody keeps saying Ezekiel choke is like the easiest choke to get out of. You can't get submitted, and he keeps hitting it. You guys are jiu-jitsu nerds. Tell me about this choke.
Well, is he getting it from – is he mounted getting it? Is he getting it from his guard? Do you know, Ricky, how he's getting this Ezekiel?
Hasn't he hit it off his back and on mount twice too?
Yeah.
Shit.
He's a weirdo with it. I started doing that when I get on top of people. I'll like just to make them uncomfortable. I can't finish it, but it's super impressive that he seems like he can get that from just about anywhere.
Maybe he just has really weird. His forearm bone is just really pointy or something like that. Because it's definitely not a move. I mean, I mostly train gi. When somebody gets in the gi, you feel it come on, but you're never like freaking out, you know? So maybe he just has a weird
now, is
form
it kind of like
angle.
A can opener? Is that like a can opener kind of move where like you do it in practice, but you're not going to tap to it?
Kind of. Yeah.
But it's,
I mean, it's almost like the triangle nowadays. You know what I mean? Like who's getting anyone in a triangle?
A lot of people. What? Like Khabib's getting people in triangles. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this guy, so Chris Dukas, he's a full-time cop. He says he hates being a cop. He hates chasing people around with guns. And he worked 40 hours a week as a cop. And then he does 2 workouts a day while working 10 hours a day. I don't know. Props to this guy for having, if he's married, because my wife would fucking kill me. I couldn't even imagine. Like, I do a comedy show for a half hour a day, and my wife thinks it's too much. A fucking Zoom show. I don't even leave the house, and I got to plan that. If I had a 10-hour cop job followed by, like, 2 workouts, like, that's either – that wife either loves him or just, I don't know, is a very independent woman. I never met a woman like that. Is your wife clingy, Ricky Simone?
Not at all, honestly. We've been together for so long. Anytime she can get rid of me, she's happy to do it.
How long have you been together for?
Like 10 years.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. Also, Adam, it seems like she doesn't have a job. Because if he has to be a UFC fighter and and be a cop, then she should probably get a job. So she can't complain.
Well, I don't even know if the guy's married, so I'm actually just making up a wife in this guy's life.
Okay.
I mean, so I have no idea, like, anything about this guy. I'm just saying that I who knows. But your wife is very cute. I saw her at the show. She looks very young. I can tell you guys have been together for a long time. You guys have that cute, you were holding hands in the show.
High school sweethearts.
Yeah, they were laughing at the same jokes. Like, they had that, like, super, like, he's like the small town kid who, like, is going to make it big as a fighter. He's got 3 brothers who are not as good as him. And then she's like, she was like the hot girl in high school that was, like, weird, but, like, cute in a weird way. Right? Am I right on this one?
I mean, you're close enough. It's
yeah, yeah. And then you guys were together through college, and he didn't have a job, and he didn't know if he was going to make it. He has a stupid tattoo with his name on his back for some reason, big fucking letters, like as if you don't know that's his fucking name. You're like, oh, where's Ricky Simone? And his brothers all have it too. So, which is crazy. Like it's a Simone. Did you guys ever fight 4-on-1?
Just other family.
Yeah, Mike, 4-on-4. Is there like a rival family in
oh, yeah, for sure. And they're fighters and wrestlers too. So we just get together, one side of the lawn, the other side of the lawn, and just it was
are you serious?
Lawn. Yeah, basically.
Well, wow. All right.
Everyone else played football. They had like full on like MMA matches and groups.
Yeah.
So we got a guy who just joining us. This guy, Ricky, you were the most interesting guy in the podcast until this guy showed up. Sorry. This guy. Tyler Goodjohn, he's a 3-0 as a bare knuckle boxer. He was
4-0.
Sorry. He's also he was a regular boxer. He was a junior ABA champion, amateur box champion, English professional glove boxing champion, bare knuckle boxing world champion, and also he's a male porn star. Now, a lot of guys, you think, oh, he's a male porn star, blah blah blah. This dude posts more videos of him fucking girls on Twitter. Like, his entire feed is just him railing chicks, like, in 2-minute videos. And, like, hot chicks. I've seen this guy's cock more than I've seen my own cock. I scroll down my feed. It's just his cock and then, like, chicks with tattoos on their faces that are hot, but they hate their dads or something. And then he's, like, and just craziness. And it's, like, there's, like, 3 girls and 4 girls and him, and it's just, and then all the comments are gay dudes. Cause I'm like, who's commenting on this? All fucking gay dudes, like, wow, nice package, or bring it over here, which makes me feel a little better about my life. But anyway, what are you gonna do? Tyler Goodjohn, how's it going, man?
That's some introduction, that. I've got to live up to that introduction now.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm doing well, mate. I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure, man. Now, you had a great – I watched your fight last night against Charles Felony. It was Crazy Horse. It's now Felony, which, you know, like you have to call him Felony now. Like, Crazy Horse wasn't crazy enough. Good fight. Really good fight. Competitive. I definitely thought you won that fight. Some people were like, oh, he didn't win. No, I'm like, you won that fight. You knocked him down. You were faster. I think people just love him. He's a very beloved character.
Yeah, yeah. He's huge in America, yeah. Like, from my point of view, it wasn't the best, but obviously going out to America, I had to go out on my own. I had no training team. I had to go quarantine for 14 days in Dubai, and then I'd spend 2 months in America training myself. I then got COVID 2 weeks out from the fight, so that was a complete nightmare. Managed to get a negative test about 5 days before the fight and went and fought. It wasn't my best, but under the circumstances, I'll take it, you know?
Now, when you're fighting Felony, there are times that he's just got butt naked during the weigh-ins. Another guy said they fought him and he was coaching that guy on how to choke him during the fight. Was he talking crazy shit to try to get in your head? Like, what was that like?
You know what? I would say that I got in his head. I obviously the way, and I'm wearing a multicolored Versace dressing gown. I'm wearing netted pants. I would say, if anything, I probably got in his head. I outshadowed Felony, didn't I? That's what I went and done it.
Ha! Now, you said your best friend sucker punched you and broke your jaw before the fight.
Yeah.
What happened there?
We were at a party. He'd become very aggressive to a group of girls. I called him out on it. When I'm saying best friend, I'm saying best friend. I've done a lot for that guy. Like I said, I called him out on it. He didn't like it. He was threatening me a lot, but didn't have the bollocks to back it up. And he actually cuddled me. He said, we're brothers. I've looked away and he sucker punched me and snapped my jaw. Both sides, I've got plates, I've got screws in my face, and actually I still can't feel my bottom lip and my bottom teeth to this day, so he's a bitch, a bitch.
And then you had to train.
But then four months later, I fought in a bare knuckle fight.
That's Ricky, you look horrified. Is everything okay? What was that, Ricky?
I said, damn, that's wild, that was his boy.
Yeah. So, by the way, you're here with Ricky Simone, UFC fighter, 18-3, one of the best, and comedian Bill Dawes. Now, let's talk about the porn aspect. So, you started dating Alessa Savage, right? Is that still your fiance?
Yeah. Well, yeah. She was my fiance.
Fiance. Now, she's a porn star.
Yeah.
And then she turned you, she said, listen, I like to fuck guys. I'm getting paid for it. I like you the best. Why don't you fuck me and we can make some money? Is that how it went down?
At the start, so basically what it was, when I was doing bare knuckle boxing in England, Television X used to show it live. So obviously I ended up with one of the ring card girls. And then it just sort of went from there, really, like I say, yeah. And I got involved in a whole lot of madness and, yeah, and she introduced me to the world of porn. Thank you.
Please explain the madness that you got involved in.
I'm in Ibiza with 5 porn stars. I'm living in a house with them for 10 days. It was just a lot of fun, and a lot of fun, basically.
so you're banging 5 girls at once. Got taken turns.
Well, I would say we're bad. Oh, I mean, I was obviously with Alessa at the time, but I'm with these hot ass porn star girls. I'm at Ocean Beach. I'm looking the fucking boy. Do you know what I mean? I'm surrounded by hot girls. It was it was fun, and it's not a bad life.
No, I've seen some of the videos. It seems like you're having a great time. So you're having sex with them now. Is it hard to not get distracted? Because you have to train for your bare knuckle fights, your boxing career, and it just seems like sometimes you keep upping the ante where it's like, oh, threesome in the morning, you got to train in the afternoon, but then this trip, put on your face, and then you got to fucking.
There's always time for a threesome. Always time.
Always times. Right. Okay.
What about the no sex before fight rule?
Yeah,
no sex before fight.
Do you know what? It's funny because. When I went to a show in Miami the fight before I fought, and David Feldman, the BKFC promoter, come up to me. He came up to me twice the whole time we were there, and he kept shaking his head. And I went, what's the matter, Dave? He went, you got to start banging, man. grandma's stuff is banging. Honestly, I swear to God. And then the next day, he's come up to me, and he's shaking his head, exactly the same thing. You really need to stop this banging, man. Like that. And I'm thinking, I was like, Davey, don't you worry, mate. I can do both.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you're not worried. I mean, you're 4-0. You're undefeated. You're a high profile guy. And you said your parents are proud of you for the porn career?
I mean, proud. If you said, hey, Tyler's mum, are you proud of seeing your son fucking loads of girls? Probably not. But at the same time, she fully supports everything I do. She knows I'm mad as fuck. And yeah, she's behind me. So.
No, okay. Okay. And your girlfriend, now, is there any jealousy? Because I talked to some porn stars that were like, because I used to work at the warm up for the Playboy channel. So I became friends with porn stars. And there was a little bit of like, hey, don't fuck that girl, but you could fuck this girl. But hey, but, you know, don't enjoy it too much with this girl. Does Alessa Savage get jealous at all?
I'm going to, do you know what? Because I can't be fucked with the amount of abuse I'm going to get if she hears this. Yeah, oh, okay, yeah, look, I'm going to be honest. She gets jealous. To be fair, look, she's not my girlfriend. So I'm obviously working with a lot of girls. But yeah, girls in the industry do get very jealous.
Of course, of course. Now, you said you also love strippers?
Yeah, I have got a, I don't not like them.
So, like, so take me to a typical day, because on Twitter, your day seems like, okay, you wake up in the morning, you train.
Yeah.
Okay. And
oh,
then
well,
okay.
Are we going through today's day, or are we going through training? Because we're in lockdown at the minute, so it's hard to train. It's hard to get hold right, of. Yeah,
all right, give me the insane fun days. So give me a typical fun day for you. I'm married. I mean,
Well, so like Valentine's Day, I've seen a girl in the morning, and then in the afternoon, I've drove off and I've slept with two other women.
Wow. And now, is this for OnlyFans for content or just without?
Yeah, well, in the morning wasn't for content, and then in the afternoon / evening, that was for content.
Does it feel weird fucking not for content? Like, aren't you at a place where you're like, hey, if I'm not getting filmed for this or pay, like, what's the point? No?
No, do you know what? Like, sex is better, obviously, when it's not made for content, because you're obviously thinking of angles, you're thinking of everything else, you know what I mean? It's not, I say it's not enjoyable, it is, but it's it's definitely harder than, yeah, when you're just fucking, don't we?
Right. Ricky, do you fuck for content as well or no?
Not usually, no.
So it's one of them things, isn't it? Like, no, it's not for everyone. But do you know what? I'm very open sexually. I always have been. I don't think it's a big deal. Everyone watches porn. The people who say that they don't watch porn are the ones who watch it the most. You know what I mean? It's like I say, I'm living, let live. Like,
now, and you're also like at the top. You're not the top 3% or something. Like, you're making what, like $50,000 a month or something?
No, like, do you know what? I haven't, like, where obviously I was in America and everything else, I had to come off it a bit and stuff like that. So I've only really just started doing scenes again now. I mean, obviously with COVID and everything else, it's like we're in lockdown back in the UK. So I can't, well, I'm not supposed to be meeting up with other girls and everything else. So it's very difficult. Until COVID's over and done with, the whole industry in general is obviously, you know, isn't open. So.
Now, have you thought about going like mainstream porn, like for like Vivid or Wicked?
Yeah, I'd like to try and do the studio stuff and all that. It's, you know, again, it's a lot more difficult than people think. But so it's definitely something that I'm open to. I'm coming back out to America again. So
I have a question.
Yeah,
I have a question. What is? Do you have a bucket list in terms of who you want to fuck in porn and who you want to fight in bare knuckle boxing?
I want to fight Luis Palomino in Miami, fill out a stadium. I've obviously really pissed him off anyway, and I pissed off the Cuban community in Miami, so I might as well go finish the job. Yeah. So So that's the fight. And then I've always said that there's a porn star girl from America called Canela Skin. And she's like a Latino girl. And she is hot as anything.
Got it. Now, do a lot of girls slide into your DMs and like, hey, I watch your OnlyFans, or hey, I watched your porn and I want you to do this to me?
Yeah, so like I've actually got a tattoo of it says down in the DM, and it's a heart shape, and it's two girls sending a picture of their ass to me. Because literally at one point, I'd wake up in the morning and my Twitter and all that was just girls fucking themselves, sending videos and fucking themselves. Like, if that doesn't give you a sex addiction, I don't know what the fuck does.
Now, are there a lot of UFC female fighters that say to you, hey, I watched your stuff and I want to get in, be with you?
Well, Paige Van Zandt messaged me the other day, a laughing face emoji with loads of money coming out of the mouth. So, I mean,
you kind of called her out, didn't you? You kind of shit on her a little bit, didn't you?
Wow.
Yeah, so, and I think,
hey, well, that's not growing. You better be saying
yeah. Nice things. That's the training part.
Hey, look, you know what? Paige Van Zandt, beautiful girl, good fire, everything else, but. But at the end of the day, was it $400,000 she got or something? Let's face it, this is bare knuckle boxing now. She hadn't had a bare knuckle fight. Obviously, she's very done what she done in the UFC and everything else, but she hadn't had a bare knuckle fight. So I find that disrespectful, but I obviously had the fights I've had, and I'm not getting paid anywhere near what she's getting. You know what I mean? I do understand she's bringing all the Instagram following and all that, but it has sort of bit him on the ass a bit. You know
How many dick pics is $400,000 for you?
How many dick pics?
That's.
I wouldn't like to say.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, listen, man. I mean, you are a character and a half. I think I think the world hasn't found out about you yet, because I feel like you're like the dirtiest guy I've ever met.
Can I say one thing? Yeah, I've got a documentary that is on YouTube. Alessa, my porn star X, is in it as well. Honestly, watch that documentary. It's called Unbroken, right? It is sick. It is good. I'm not just saying it.
I saw it. It's great.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm so happy about it coming out. I knew it was going to be good. It's, you know, it's fighting. It's going to be interesting, but the way the production, everything else.
Now, how many girls come up to you in real life and they're like, hey, let me see it, or I see what you're working with, or hey, can I get a ride on the Good John Express? I mean, how many women come up to you and say this?
Well, at the minute, being in lockdown, not that many, but I get messages. It's like, we live in a social media time now, don't we? You can bang your Tinder on and you're not going to be short of beds, don't we?
Wow.
Yeah. I just want to be friends with you, Tyler. That'd be a great friend, a guy who can fight bare knuckle and yeah, Jesus Christ.
All right, where can people find you? Instagram, OnlyFans, everything.
Yeah, so I'm on my Instagram at LTornadoTyler, and then on my Twitter, if you want to see a little bit more of me, that is a link to get to the OnlyFans, and it's at TornadoTyler on Twitter. I've got my Facebook, but I basically just get abused by people that sit at home and do fuck all. So I don't tend to go on it that much. I'm mostly on Instagram. I do a lot of Instagram lives, like to connect and talk to my fans and everything else. So give it a follow.
Well, listen, keep up the great work, man. I think that there's you're providing a service for people. I'm not really sure what the service is, but it's a good service. A lot of people, they need to masturbate, they need to watch fighting, and here you are. So stay away from my wife. Thanks a lot, Tyler. You're the best.
Nice one. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. That was Tyler Goodjohn. Wow. Lot to absorb there. Thoughts, Ricky Simone?
Hey, that guy is way more interesting than me. I feel like I'm going to do something crazy now.
Well, Rick, I have a question for you about jujitsu. So what? When I do jujitsu,
ignore the fact that guy just came on the show.
That's what I'm talking about. When I do jujitsu, I never think about sex. But when I'm having sex, I think about jujitsu all the time. And gay. I wanted to kind of ask him, like, when he's – does he ever – confuse his two fucking passions in the middle? Do you ever just want to start hauling off on? I don't know, but do you know what I'm talking about with the jujitsu? Like, are you in bed ever like, oh, I'm passing her guard. I'm trapped in her half guard. She's got me in lockdown. Up, oh, full mount. Nothing like that. Just me. I'm a weirdo.
I'll never think about no jujitsu.
Thank you, Bill. Good job, Bill.
Why is she turtling up? She's turtling up again.
Man, that was so far. We had a guy that was stoned as fuck, and another guy, a bare knuckle boxer, porn star. Ricky, you're the most normal guy on the podcast.
Yeah. I know. I'm starting to feel like it. What's going on out here?
All right, let's talk about some more of the fights this week, and then we'll call it a show. That guy, nice guy though, very humble. Like, seems like a real sweet guy.
He could be a really big star just in terms of his brand and his look and everything. He's got the kind of tatted up little Jason Momoa look going.
It's the craziest thing. He literally posts pictures of him because, like, a lot of times I'm like, this guy, like, because I'm like, he's like a real fighter. It's not like he's just some guy that, like, is an amateur or took one fight and is a porn star. You're like, he's like legitimately was a boxer and like a fighter. So, and I'm looking at these videos of just him, just like his fucking cock hanging out. Like, hey, for $20, you could just, I mean, literally it's every fucking cock thing. And there's, but there's like 6 views on it. I'm like four of those views. I'm like, something's being missed here. Like, he's not being marketed correctly. Cause I do feel like, you ever see that, Bill, like, and I mean, as far as like comedy wise, or you ever see like a band, we're like, man, why does no one know about this fucking band? Or you see,
that's how I feel about myself, Adam. That's how I feel about,
yeah, or like, or like you see a fighter, you're like, like why does nobody care? Like, I'll watch some random prelim fighter, like he in like that, he could corner the market in male porn stars.
Ricky, I gotta ask you, as a UFC fighter, do you look at him and go, oh, bare neck, that's cute? Is it like an NFL fighter looking at a CFL player? Or like Major League Baseball looking at double A going like, yeah, you got your little thing, but like you're at the top of the game in the UFC.
I just think of it as a different sport. I think it's badass in its own realm. Like, I never really watched until Paige jumped on that last card is when I tuned in. I was like, oh, this is kind of badass. And then I see some of the guys in my weight class doing it, and I'm like, man, I would knock this guy out. Fucking shit. But I mean, the crazy part of me kind of was like, I'd like to do that.
It's entertaining. I'll tell you what, Bill, like Paige said she got paid like 20 times when she got in the UFC.
Holy shit.
If like, or a lot more, if that keeps happening, people aren't going to start looking at it like that. They're going to go, wait,
you're right.
Like,
it's all about money. You're absolutely right.
And in some ways, I think I wouldn't say it's easier, but you don't have to defend, you know, heel hooks. You don't have to defend the kicks, and you're not punching as hard because you'll break your hand. So you're like, you're punching at like 70%, and the rounds are shorter. I wouldn't say it's easier, but it's definitely like, it's a different skill. It's a whole different skill, you know?
Yeah.
Like you said, and it's entertaining as fuck. He's right. And it's still in that weird stone age where like people are just entering the ring for no reason. Or people are just jumping in, or the announcers are saying like things like, it's just, it's crazy. It's fucking madness.
I think it might evolve to like, we have a hybrid, like back to the early UFC or the Pride days, where it's going to be bare knuckle, no holds barred, just, but on the ground as well.
Yeah. Somebody's going to call it bare knuckle MMA, which I think will really favor the jiu-jitsu guys, because from what I hear, it's harder to choke somebody with gloves on.
It is, for sure.
So, all right, so a couple more fights. Who else is so Arlovsky is fighting this guy, Tom Aspinall. Tom Aspinall has won 7-9. He knocked out Jake Collier in 45 seconds, followed up with another guy in 95 seconds. All of his wins come in the first round. I feel like they're trying to build him up. He's from England, and Arlovsky is not known for his like ground game. So, and Arlovsky's old.
How old is Arlovsky?
I mean,
40?
At MMA years, like 160 or something, you know? So, but at the same time, he's been in there with everybody.
Yeah.
Where that experience factor, I mean, there's nothing this guy's going to bring to the table that Arlovsky hasn't seen before. So who do we like in this fight? Ricky Simone.
I think with the heavyweight division, it's always like when they match up a young guy like that, super athletic versus a veteran, it always depends on what happens in that first round. Because if that young guy can get rid of him quick, use that speed and that power, but it always seems to favor the more veteran, the seasoned heavyweight once the rounds go on, because those guys usually blow their wad, and then all of a sudden they're getting their shit pushed in by this old guy.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right with that. Also, Jared Gordon is fighting Daniel Chavez. I like Gordon, man. He's a guy that overdosed 19 times on heroin. Then he basically was sober, fucked up his back in a car accident. They put him on painkillers, on Vicodin. He was unconscious, and then he got hooked again. He's had a crazy life. Everyone gave up on this guy. He's from New York, and now he made it back to the UFC. He made it to the UFC, and he's just a guy that you have to root for. I don't know the other guy, Chavez, but this guy's got some story. Gordon should sell his life story, because he's one of those dudes that you're gonna watch, and you're that can't happen. You watch a movie, the guy's gonna go to fucking heroin 19th. But yeah, so fucking Gordon's a guy that I always root for. Interesting fight this year is Dracar Close, because he's a guy that I feel like has so much talent, but doesn't always, he lost to Dariush because he got too excited and rushed in. And he's fighting Luis Pena, who's had 7 fights in the UFC. I feel like it was last year we watched about The Ultimate Fighter, Violent Bob Ross. But I don't know how good this dude is. I still can't figure out how good he is. What do you think?
Pena seems legit. I wasn't sure. I think it was just 2 fights ago, and then I was watching some of the combos he was throwing, and some of his timing is just real slick. And then he's just so freaking long too for the weight class. Damn.
Yeah, but
so I think I like him in that fight.
I hope Dracar wins. And Danny Courtney Kisi is a hot piece of.
Ricky, how important, by percentage, is your camp, your training camp? Is it so definitive in terms of how someone's going to win a fight or not? Because it always feels like people have had a great camp this time or I didn't. And I kind of feel does it make that much of a difference?
I think it depends on the fighter, because there's so much. You'll be surprised about how many fighters are just training camp, athletes who are only really training when they got to fight. But those guys who stay ready all the time, you don't got to spend that first month and a half getting in shape. If you're already getting into camp in shape, you should just be able to knock out the finer details and stuff like that. For me, I mean, I'm always ready to go, but I want that extra time in camp for my coaches all to study my opponent and break down everything we think he's going to do. So I think, we're at a point in MMA where you kind of have to have be fully prepared. You can't just go in kind of blindsided and be like, I hope I'm ready for this. You kind of want to be ready to walk out and there not be a question in your mind that, you prepared.
You also never hear about a bad camp unless they lose. Nobody wins and goes, I had an awful camp, but I won the fight. It's only when they lose that they admit they have a bad camp. So I feel like it's a tainted sample piece that we have. Nate Landwehr, this fucking guy's a psycho. He's the guy that, after he won his fight, he's from Alabama, called Nate Dutrain. He, was like, Dana White. He was, chasing Dana White around the arena. And Dana was like, where the fuck did we find this guy? He's fighting, but I love the guy. He fought, an M1. He was just a guy that just took fights everywhere. He's fighting Junior Rosa, who's 2-4 in the UFC, but he's been knocked out 3 times. I feel like Nate's got this. And then Eddie Wineland is fighting John Castaneda. Eddie Wineland, if he doesn't win this fight, I'm sorry. I love Eddie Wineland, but it might be time. That Sugar Shane, that Sugar Sean O'Malley knockout was tough to watch. And then John Castaneda came to my show in Minnesota. He might have the hottest Filipino girlfriend ever. And then she walked out. She was offended. But he stayed. So, but I don't know. This is going to be a good fight. Who do we like in this fight? Ricky Simone, Eddie Wineland, or John Castaneda?
Definitely Castaneda, the sexy Mexi for sure. I think he's too athletic. Too explosive. I think, I've been a big fan of Eddie for a long time, but that's also the problem. It's been for a long time. He's getting old. I think he's going to be one step behind.
Yeah. One of the fighters today missed weight by 12 pounds.
Who's that?
He came in at Alves. The guy Alves, he was supposed to fight at 145. He came in at 157. So he missed the other weight class too. I mean, you can't let that fight happen, right?
No.
Whose call is that? Who decides if that fight can happen? Is it just Dana or is it the fighters?
Rafael Avez. I mean, it's got to be the commission. I mean, you just can't. You can't miss the weight class above you. Like, by 2 pounds. Like, that's.
There still has to be within a certain amount, I think. It depends on the commission, but I'm pretty sure the commission would get involved at that point and it'd be up to them. Even if the other guy would accept it.
I mean, why not fake an injury? Like, why even go on the scale at that point? If you're 12 pounds over, why wouldn't you just, like, faint and be like, I can't, and be like, that, oh, sorry, I had something happened, but I got a stomach virus, or pay off a doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Coming in at 12, like, why would you even attempt to go on a scale if you're 12 pounds over? It's insane.
Did he say anything? Did he have an excuse? Like, well...
He said he was Brazilian. Weekend. He said he was Brazilian. So that was just, no, I'm kidding. finally, another fight I'm looking forward to is Chaz Skelly, who was a 5-time state champion from Texas. He's fighting Jamal Emmers. That should be a good fight. Chaz Skelly is one of those dudes that, like, he's never out of a fight. Remember that one fight he won? Remember that fight he fought? He was, like, getting the living shit beaten out of him. And he came back in the third. I forgot who it was. It's against some guy from, like, Romania, I don't know, something. And then Casey O'Neill is 5-0, and they're touting her as the next big thing. And she's fighting Shayna Dobson, who I believe is, like, 3-4 in the UFC. I don't even understand this. But she won her last fight. She beat Agapova, who they were trying to make another, like, star out of. I hope Shayna Dobson wins. I do. I love it when fucking, but I don't know. Everyone's saying, like, the over-under is, like, one round on this one. But I hope Shayna Dobson wins. I really do. Fucking, you know,
Could Amanda Nunes just win every weight class? What if she just said, I'm going to sweep the weight classes?
Well, yeah. I mean, she's already done that. She's won at 145, 135. What, she took it down to 125? I mean, what is she going to do?
Keep moving up.
What is she? I mean, they're going to. It was her versus, like, fucking Gabby Garcia. I mean, like, and she would fucking wreck Gabby Garcia.
I know.
All right, finally, Jake Paul versus Ben Askren. So another boxer trained with Askren last week who says that Askren got – I'm trained with Jake Paul over at ATT, who says Askren got no shot. He says there's no victory for Askren. He's going to be a 3-1 underdog. It's going to be a terrible thing for the UFC. It'll be great for Askren if he gets paid $1 million, but he lives in Wisconsin. Like, you could buy a house there for, like, $19. He doesn't spend any money. He, like, owns, like, 90 Bitcoins. He has 4 wrestling academies. He made $1 million at ONE FC. He had a huge UFC contract and a huge Bellator contract. What does he need to do this for? Like, why is he doing this? Talk to me.
That boy likes the attention for sure. He's looking for the clout. But I don't know. The fighter in me wants to, like, team up with Ben Askren. You know, he's a funny guy. But I just watched a video of his coach saying that he was going to win, and Ben's in the background. He kind of, like, hobbles to the middle of the ring to, like, hit passes. Like, oh God, he's so unathletic. I don't know, man. I think that Paul boy is going to get him.
Dude, this reminds me a little bit. I hate to say it. Like, and he had 2 hip surgeries. Like, coming up, 2 surgeries. It reminds me when Tito fought Chuck Liddell, like, 4 times, like the last time.
Oh God!
Boy, people so were sad. There. They told me that they showed a video of, like, Chuck arriving, and he was, like, hopping. He was, like, crawling out of his car, and, like, you know how they go, like, backstage, and everyone in the crowd was just like, no, like, it was like, and dude, I love Chuck. Chuck is fucking awesome. I've hung out with him. He's still ripped. He's still shredded, but it's different when you're. And fucking, who wants to see Jake Paul win? Is anybody rooting for Jake Paul? His own brother doesn't like him. Like,
yeah.
Logan doesn't like him. Like 15-year-old YouTubers, like, that's who we're fucking, that's who want. Is anybody rooting for this guy?
No. But doesn't that explain why he would want to fight him? Why Askren would want to fight him? Because, like, wouldn't you want to kick this guy's ass for money?
Yeah, but do it, like, in a wrestling match or something where he's going to win, you know, or in an MMA fight. I mean, literally, if you go on Nate Robinson's, I go on Nate Robinson's Instagram sometimes because I'm bored and I want to see what people, he'll post something like, hanging with my kids, you know, great family day. And then like 97 comments like, but they didn't see you, but they saw you get knocked out. Like, and it's all fucking like, and nobody with like a fucking profile. It's just some fucking stupid account. Like, and like every one of them is like, oh, you finally woke up? Like everyone. Like, is this what we want Aspen to deal with? I know he doesn't care, but fuck, man.
I mean, nothing could be worse than his knockout against Masvidal. So come on.
At least it was against Masvidal, though.
Yeah.
Like, at least you could be like, and in some ways, yeah, that was, but there isn't a person on the planet that wouldn't have went down that way had they got their, like, that landed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like, oh shit, like he got clipped with a jab and fell down. It was like, dude, he got fucking, a guy ran a running start and kneed him in the fucking head. Like, there's nobody that wouldn't have happened to, you know?
I will put money on Ben. I'll give $100 on Ben. Right now,
I would love that. No, because I'm not. I would never bet against Ben. I fucking love Ben Askren. He's my friend.
Yeah, he's your homie.
But I don't know, man. I'm nervous about this one. I hope it doesn't happen. Like the Mayweather one, I wanted to happen because I'm like, Floyd's not gonna lose to Logan Paul. Like, there's not on any universe, on any day.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Yeah.
You could wake Floyd up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you could give Logan Paul a full training camp. And you can be like, hey, you're fighting, and have him know, and he'll still beat him up with a fucking bolt. But this one, like, I mean, I've never seen Askren turn a punch. Like, have you ever seen him actually turn a punch? Like, it's all arm punches.
You know? I'm gonna go get him in the clinch, and I get him super tired, though, and then, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think if it was bare knuckle, he might win. And bare knuckle, he would have a better shot. Because he could just fucking, you know, do that shit, hold on to him like a hockey fight thing. But, man. And then he's training, and then fucking Paul's training with Sugar Shane Mosley. I don't know. What are you gonna do?
Listen, I'll take $100 bet. I got you.
well, listen, Ricky, when you're famous and you're gonna be super famous and you're gonna be a superstar, you're gonna be the champion. How old are you now?
28.
Yeah, you're gonna be a champion. I'd say by the time you're 30. But you can't forget about me, bro, because everybody else does. They're all fucking, this is what they all do. You know, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh man, I'm tired. I'm going to go on the, you know, so don't fucking, all right.
Hey, it's been like, I think I did like an interview with like 7 years ago and here I am.
Of course, man. I knew you were a star in the LFA, bro. Like LFA, I was your fan. I was like, this dude's, I mean, you beat what, Chico Camus?
Yeah. Dude, you interviewed me before my Titan fights, before I was going to fight like Brett Johns back in the day.
Yeah. That would have been a fun fight.
Not talking shit to each other. We're like giving each other compliments. It's super awkward.
Oh, that was the worst. We used to have these press conferences. Rest in peace to that guy. Yeah. The promoter would call me up and be like, I got these two Titan guys. And then we would get them on. They wouldn't even know what they were on, what show they were on. And they would talk zero shit to each other. And then we would just talk shit to each other, me and the guy, on behalf of them. The best is we had one time we had Rachel Ostovich, and it was like before, no one knew who Rachel was. It was her and Andrea KGB Lee. And then their boyfriend started fighting with each other, like in the background. They're like, tell me that was like funny.
Hell yeah.
Like, I think one of them's in jail now for domestic. I think they're both in jail for domestic violence, actually. So fuck both those guys. But it was an interesting show. And then it became, would you make out with each other? Like, hey, Rachel, would you make out with Andrea? And she's like, yeah, probably. It was the weirdest. Fucking shittiest press conference, and there was no actual press there, so I would just call it a press conference. But listen, thank you, man. Thank you for taking time, Bill. You're great. Anything you want to plug?
No, but Ricky, keep the mullet, man. Keep the mullet. That's gonna be part of your brand. I think you'll be like the fighter version of Theo Vaughn. Maybe put some color in it. Man. You're a badass. I love watching your fight, man. As a jiu-jitsu guy, I love how you combine your boxing, your striking, your wrestling, jiu-jitsu, man. I think you're a master. It's really cool to watch, and nice to meet you, man.
Yeah,
I have nothing to plug. Just my name, Adam. You're the best, man. Thank you. Everyone, check out Adam's special on UFC. Fight Pass, UFC.
Yeah,
man, it's great, dude. I just saw it last night. You're awesome.
I appreciate it. Thanks for
love you, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Yes.